This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Wednesday, October 2, 2024. The Memorial of the Holy Guardian Angels by Father William Doc Holliday.
The words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Memorial of the Guardian Angels. And spoke of this on Sunday in a more general context of the angelic beings per se. But when we look about the guardian angels particularly, this is not something that developed over hundreds of years in the church's life. It is obvious in the earliest writings of the church fathers that we have these guardian angels. Now, some of the theories behind how that applies have been developed, but at the end of the day, it was a given that we had guardian angels. It's a given because we see first reading today from Exodus, God gave angels over people, Israel. The Book of Tobit, we see in the Old Testament that an angel is a sign for certain times and certain tasks and work in individual lives. And then we have our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who says that if anyone offend against a little one, you would be better if you were executed, a millstone hung around your neck and tossed into the sea. Why? Because you've offended me. No, because the angel of that person is beholding the face of my Father, who's in heaven. So our Lord Jesus Christ explicitly speaks that each and every individual has a guardian angel. This is something we need to ponder because each and every one of us has one. We need to appreciate it. Today in the Roman Breviary, St. Jerome, he speaks about, you look at Psalm 90, 91 for those of you who use newer versions of the scriptures, where he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You think about it. Who is it that sends the guardian angels? It is none other than the omniscient, omnipotent creator of all things. God Almighty himself sends who? The created beings that he created to minister to him in heaven. And then after the fall, he uses them in a wonderful order to minister to us down here. This is the glory of what we have in our guardian angels, and it is so unfortunate that so little attention is paid to them. I don't know if you do commercials on blog sites, but they're 1 Peter 5. I know some of you read it. 1 Peter 5, if you go to that blog site today, there's actually a very, very excellent article in there as to how the church has gone away from presenting the truths about angels, particularly when it comes to their work in our sanctification or being made holy. When we see the work of the angels and what they're, we've lost so much sight, even liturgically, any traditional mass, our mass, it opens up with discussion of the invocation of angels. It ends up the last prayers that we say at the foot of the altar, the invocation of angels. Throughout the Mass, throughout the canon, there is the invocation of angels. This is of so much importance for us, or should be. And here we have one of our own, an angel that has been given to you, and people don't pay any attention to it. I don't know if it's a show of hand, but just rhetorically, when is the last time in your prayers you engaged with your guardian angel? I hope around here that it's frequently, but it's not something that's on the radar screen for a lot of people, which is truly unfortunate because, again, they are the conduit between you and heaven. Not they flip back and forth, like I said Sunday. They are always with you, and they are always beholding the face of the Father who is in heaven. This conduit that goes back and forth with our spirituality, this is the connection. We receive our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, divinity, the Eucharist. We receive him under the sacramental forms. Your guardian angel is not with you under sacramental forms. He, in his spirit being, is with you. From the time you're conceived in the womb until the time that he ushers you before the judgment seat of Christ, and then your Jesus business at that point, and your guardian angel finally steps aside. This is the guardian angel, and this is what we should appreciate. He's not there just to, as I pointed out the other day, I don't mean this facetiously, but when we talk, you know, what's your guardian? Oh, he's to protect me from falling off ladders and being in car crashes. That is like a tertiary thing that he does. It's not even ancillary. It's way down the line. Yeah. There are three offices primarily that the Holy Guardian Angels fulfill. We see these offices in the way they're referred to in the earliest of Christian writings, because they would be sometimes referred to as the guardian angels. At other times, they would be referred to as your angel of peace. And then at other times, your angel of penance. And then at other times, your angel of prayer. Those are the three things primarily that the guardian angels do for us. That first one, the angel of peace. Peace. Indeed. And this is where that protection would fall under. They do indeed protect us from outside dangers. But why do they keep us free from outside dangers? They keep us free from outside dangers so long as we are continuing our sanctification process. But I mean being made more holy. The moment that we are holy enough to go before the judgment seat of Christ, guess what? All bets are off with their keeping you from external dangers. This is Psalm 90. To keep you in all your ways, that you dash not your foot against a stone. Now, I don't think there's anybody in here that hasn't been hurt in some way, shape, or form in an accident in this world, or you get sick, or whatever that may be. So it's not a matter of your guardian angels falling down on the job if something bad happens to you physically. It is his job to keep you as healthy as you possibly can to become more sanctified. This is the way we need to look at the guardian angels. When St. Raphael goes to Tobias, what is he sent there for? To protect him from outside dangers, but then again to remedy Tobias' blindness, for one thing. And in his doing it, it's a very close association. It's an integration between protecting you and even healing you when they are called to do so from things on the outside. This angel of peace, this is his engagement in our spiritual warfare. When you talk about spiritual warfare, I hope you don't think for a moment that in any way, shape, or form that you would be able to win spiritual warfare against the armies of Satan. I don't think there is anyone in here, I pray God, that would be presumptuous enough to think they could stand their own against demons. And what do demons do? Their constant desire is to drag you down to hell with them. This is what they do. We cannot confront them. We cannot confront them. This is why you have a guardian angel. They are our armor of God that protects us. If we cooperate, if we stand behind their shields, they do indeed protect us. Anything that is an assault on our spirit... Our Lord Jesus Christ, I pointed out on Sunday, can you imagine the angels that were given charge over the second person of the Trinity in his incarnation? But we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, who was in the Garden of Gethsemane, overwhelmed by what he was going to face. I am sorrowful unto death. Satan is besetting our Lord like he has never been beset before. He is thrashing our Lord a million times worse than he did in the 40 days temptation in the desert, where angels also ministered to him. But angels ministered to him in the Garden of Gethsemane, keeping him free from those assaults of Satan. But again, when you see the integration of when his will is to be done, the guardian angels do exactly that. I always use the example for us. He can be with you and you can live till you're 95 years old. And the moment God says, okay, let this bad thing happen to them because they're going to die, the angel does not for one moment go, oh, come on, God, he's a really nice person. I've been with them for 95 years. Come on, you know, don't make it so painful or don't do that. Right? No, they don't say anything like that. They go, God's like, let that bus hit him. And the angel's like, all righty then. Why? Because it's the will of God. Your days are numbered when you're formed in your mother's womb. And when your angel knows that moment's up, he steps right back. He doesn't shed a tear. As a matter of fact, he's glad because he's fulfilled his mission here. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he's here. The angels are protecting him from the assaults of Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then what happens? He gets arrested and beat and spat upon and scourged and crowned with thorns and hung on a cross. All these bad things happen to him. Why? Because it's the Father's will. And the angels who minister to him in the garden are standing back watching this happen because it is the will of the Father. These are our guardian angels. They are perfectly attuned to the will of God. We would be like cattle just waltzing around pasture without any kind of guidance whatsoever if we didn't have our guardian angels. So this protecting us, I mean, this is the positive aid that keeps us from the turmoils of this world and keeps us focused. When even the bad things are happening to us, the most horrible of things, that we acquiesce to God's will. Because for one thing, your guardian angel is allowing it. This is the angel of peace. He brings us peace even when things are horrible. You look at our Lord Jesus Christ in the garden when he's beset by all these temptations and these demonic assaults. He is sorrowful unto death. He's sweating drops of blood. But when they arrest him and they start doing all these horrible things to him, his face is set like flint. All of a sudden, there is a sense of peace about him. I'm always saying, peace does not mean the absence of conflict. Peace means a solace when things are in conflict. This is our angel of peace. He will give you that if you will just be attentive to him. That second office, the angel of penance. A lot of people don't like it. Does that ever enter anybody's radar screen? I have a guardian angel. He's my angel of penance. Indeed, they are our angels of penance. The vast reality of penance, well, most people even hear that word penance in the context of the church, oh, the confessional. The scope of penance and being a penitent is so broad, and the confessional is only a small part of that. Penance should be an everyday thing, every moment of everyday thing. This is the penance that we should live a life of penance. All the great spiritual writers always say it, that is so foreign to the concept and the presentation in our day and age. Oh, you know, you're okay. Jesus loves you because who you are and all that other good stuff like that. He wants you to be better. He wants you to be better, and you get better through penance. If our Lord Jesus Christ had to endure that, and St. Paul says, we must work out our salvation in fear and trembling, constantly doing penance for these little faults that we do, these little things. This is at the guidance of your guardian angel. Nobody does that naturally. We don't fast naturally. We want to deprive ourselves. We don't want to detach ourselves from things of this world naturally. It is a supernatural thing to detach ourselves from things in this world. Guardian angels induce repentance. Why who people who don't pay attention to them out in the world, how come they're not repentant from all the horrible things that they do? How come they're not repentant? Because they're not listening to their guardian angels. They have no attention. They've quenched their guardian angel. They ignore them outright. The necessity to avoid. This is one of the good things, the angel of penance. Oh, somebody from heaven, you know, why would they, you know, why would they be a source of penance for us? I said on Sunday that the Lord uses the nine choirs of angels to sort of diffuse his light. As pointed out in that context, I said, his light is incomprehensible, so how can we comprehend it? He diffuses it among the choirs of angels to us. And as we deal with them more, we get closer to his light, and it improves. Penance is the same exact thing. You want your guardian angel to be the source of your repentance. Because this whole, this is just between me and God thing, you better hope not. You better hope not. You know, all we ever hear about is the merciful and gracious God, which he is. I am not discounting that all. His property is always to have mercy. We hear that in every Mass. He is always merciful. He's always gracious. But it also says in Scripture, it is a horrible thought to fall into the hands of an angry God. If you don't have penance, you will fall into the hands of an angry God. So it's better to hear down here to get your guardian angel give you a kick in the tail every now and then than to get up to heaven and have God mad at you. Because what your guardian angel is going to do to you is a whole lot less than what God's going to do to you. This is our guardian angel, the angel of penance. Because repentance is a healing process. And he's talking about when he came down to Tobit. When he's with Tobias, he's been blind for an extended period of time, all these things that happened to him, and then at the end of the story, he heals him. Repentance is a healing thing. This is why it's such a travesty. We don't hear about it more. Because if you don't hear about the remedy, you're not going to be cured of the illness. Sin is the illness. Repentance is the cure for that. And our guardian angels are supposed to be the ones who do this for us if we pay attention to them. You might not pay attention to them, but you will pay attention to Christ at the judgment seat. So we need to start now in paying attention to the angel that he sent to us. That third office, the angel of prayer. Do we even ever think about the guardian angels in the context of prayer? And again, St. Raphael, when he finally identifies himself to Tobias, so I am Raphael, one of the seven holy angels who stand before God and offer your prayers to him, explicitly says that he offers prayers to God. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the angels who are lifting our prayers up to the throne room of grace. Angels are I said before about the conduit, they are how your prayers are heard. Newsflash, we're separated from heaven. We are separated. We need a conduit that connects us to heaven. That conduit is the holy angels. The scriptures teach us, Old Testament and New Testament, the last book of the New Testament, that angels bring your prayers up to God. So you have to understand, you never pray alone. You never pray alone. Every time you pray, your guardian who is right there is going to raise those prayers up to heaven in accord with God's will. There's that whole thing, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be with them. You're never by yourself. There's always at least two of you, you and your guardian angel. Tertullian, early church father, he actually said this. I love this. He said, Christians ought not to sit while they are praying out of respect for the angel of prayer who is at their side. That's kind of an interesting form. I'm not sitting here saying you should never sit down when you pray. But I mean, it's a good thought right there because Tertullian was taking into consideration what it is to have your guardian angel pray for you because that's the only way your prayers get to heaven because you're not there. And they always behold the face of your Father who is in heaven. They are the angels of prayer. We just need to foster this understanding of it, and you will foster it if you pay attention to them. This thought about angels, I mean, again, and it's unfortunate because we do live in a day and age for where the past 60 years, oh, you know, we don't talk about the angel. We talk about Jesus. Well, it's all about Jesus and everything. Yeah, who protected Jesus while he was here? Okay, if it was good enough for him, it should be good enough for us. We need to be attentive to our guardian angels. Can you imagine a relationship? And relationships in this world, like I said Sunday, it doesn't matter who and how much you love them. People are going to move away. There are just going to be distances in relationships. People are going to get sick and they're going to die in this world. Everybody comes and goes in this world. Everything is fleeting except your guardian angel. They're with you when you were conceived. They will be there with you when you breathe your last. They will be there taking your soul up to heaven, to the judgment seat of Christ. And then if you have to go to purgatory, they're going to stay with you there until you're done. This is how close the relationship is. If that's a relationship, why would we ignore them? What a human relationship would work like that? You know, you think about it for a moment. Oh, that's a friend of mine over there. Oh, what's their name? I don't know. Oh, how long have you known them? Oh, I've been around them for all my whole life. Well, where do they live? I don't know. What about this about? I don't know. That's not your friend. That is not a friend. You're not talking about a friend. How do friendships deepen and grow? Paying attention to one another. This is how this works. Take it from me, if nobody else. 15, 20 years ago, I was in the whole same category of everybody. You know, oh yeah, pretty cool. Guardian angel. Excellent. All right, let's move on. And then, you know, I started, some things came up. I read some stuff. I was like, man, that is kind of cool. This concept and that concept. And I started paying more attention. I started reading things about angels. And all of a sudden, just like a human friend, the more you spend with, the more time you learn about them. And all of a sudden, the more you want to know about them. I can't get enough of reading books about angels now. I mean, like I said, I was involved in ministry 15 years ago, you know, and 20 years ago, but I really didn't pay much attention. And now I'm at the point where every single Tuesday, unless there's something liturgically that exceeds a vote of mass, we have a vote of mass for the holy angels every single Tuesday. Why? Because they're that important. We need to know about them. We need to hear about them. We need to hear about them through the mass. We need to hear about them in our prayers. We need to think about them and meditate upon them. We got pictures of our family members all over every place. And what do we got? We got pictures of these little fat, chubby people with little tiny wings. And that's our concept of angels. Does that look like an angel of penance? Does that look like an angel of prayer? Does that look like an angel who could protect you from demons? No, it doesn't. They're the one thing, they don't look like anything because they don't have bodies. But newsflash, and this is hard for some people to get their heads around, there is not one place in Scripture where angels are described as having wings. Well, you know it's an angel if it's got wings. Not one place in Scripture does it speak about angels having wings. Nowhere. We've got to get to know these beings. They're better than us. They're like having the big tough guy when you're being bullied, because that's what we're down here. We're being bullied by demons, and you want the big tough guy who can beat them up. That's your guardian angel. But we act like, hey, there was a big tough, yeah, okay, whatever. No, that's not how it's going to work. Not how it's going to work at all. We need to be attentive to that, particularly when things are bad, particularly when something's going on that you're scared to death about everything. You need to rely on, I'm scared to death. Yes, and you should be, but appeal to your guardian angel. It'll give you the strength to get through this. This is what they do. We just have to know them. But if you ignore them, how's that going to happen? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.